103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Good afternoon and welcome. This is The Sod Show with Peter Donegan and Brian Green. Without Peter Donegan this week, because it's just a Brian Green special where I'm the man with the roving microphone and I'm in the studio. I'm multitasking man today. Stay with us until 3:30 and Peter will be back next week holding the microphone. On today's programme, I'll be talking with Michael McAvoy and Elaine Brown, both of DIY International. That's coming up in a few moments' time. First, let's tell you how to get in touch and a couple of news items for you. And you can get in touch by Twitter while on air, and that's at Sod Show. On Facebook, The Sod Show, and on email, info@sodshow.com. Sodshow.com for the back catalogue of the last 4¾ years of programmes. Now, in the news, something I mentioned last week, but it hasn't expired yet, so it's worth another run. A horticulture industry get-together, November 28th, and it's on for landscapers, garden designers, nursery people, plants people, gardeners, anyone with an interest in horticulture. You get the gist. There's no cover charge. It is free in. It's on 2 to 5 p.m. Saturday, the 28th of November, and it's in Arbortum Kilquaid, the National Garden and Exhibition Centre, County Wicklow. Drop in for a coffee and a chat, catch up with everybody and what's new in horticulture, bring your colleagues along, meet all friends in the industry and make some new ones. That's Kilquaid, Saturday, 2 to 5 p.m. Also in the news, Peter tells me to tell you about something that's worthwhile to do just around Christmas time, and that is Christmas at the Enable Ireland gift store. Check them out, enableireland.ie. In the words of Peter, who scripted this show, love Christmas, fancy a bit of something a little fancy Dan in exchange for some hard shekels? You'll like this one. This is from the very Brillo Gillian at Enable Ireland. The perfect Christmas gift and support a great cause. They have beautiful Deem ceramic, have I pronounced that right, to brighten up your Christmas table with prices starting from €13. Great gift ideas from Bloomingville with novelty cups from €8, a beautiful range of picture frames from £9.99 and a stunning vintage clock from £12. Accessories and giftware for men, women, children, gifts for teachers from Disaster Designs. All available in the Enable Ireland webshop, enableireland.ie. 103.2 Dublin City FM, it is time to go to interview of the week and to go outdoors, and we're back in Waterford at the Grow Fest, and we're talking to two wonderful people who are telling us all about the background to some of the work that goes on in DIY International. We have another interview lined up for you today. Today I have two great speakers, and we have Elaine Brown and we have Michael McAvoy, both involved in Grow It Yourself DIY International. Elaine, hello.
Hello.
Michael, hello.
How are you?
Very good. We'll start with Michael. Michael, how did you first, what was that day like when you first came across DIY?
So I just moved back from England. I was a little bit dislocated from my community, fractured. I didn't feel involved in Belfast. And I come across the idea of Grow It Yourself, this idea of people come together to build community through growing food together. And I took the plunge to set up a Grow It Yourself group in Belfast, which was one of the first Grow It Yourself groups in Northern Ireland. So I sort of fell hook, line and sinker for the concept of growing community and growing food together.
We'll come back to that. And our next guest is Elaine, and she is, I'm going to say, you're nomadic. You've been to a lot of places bringing the DIY brand to communities.
I suppose so.
Where have you been?
So for DIY specifically, I've been all over Ireland, to Galway and Kerry and Cork and all kinds of random tiny little villages, and had lovely times with them. And internationally, I've had like Skype calls with people from the UN and like India and where was she? Oh, Canada. There's a lady who lives in Waterford now. I used to work for them. So we're trying to set up things for DIY to be international as well. So,
how big? I'm going to ask you both this question. How big is DIY? Like, put it into numbers. Put it into its importance. How, you mentioned the UN. Like, how big is DIY?
Bigger on the inside. That's what I'm going for. I'm terrible with numbers. So there are ones about how many thousands of children we get to grow food every year. Don't want to tell you the wrong numbers. I'm not going to. But because it's within each person that we talk to, I think it's really hard to quantify, you know. So on an individual scale, each person that you get to grow one seed has then become part of DIY. We have a lot of supporters who pay a membership to be part of DIY every year, and we send them magazines and they come to things like GrowFest, which we're at the moment. And then in other ways, we're working on bigger ideas to get more DIY groups. So that's a group like the one that Mick has in Belfast, where people come together to share their knowledge about food growing. So there are more and more of them coming, like popping up all over the world.
I said I'd ask you both the question. So, like, how big is it growing year on year? Like, you plant a seed, it grows, and you can say, okay, every couple of months it's going to go so big, and then it'll be there next year again. But the organisation, how big is it growing year on year?
This is the fourth year, I think, for the, we used to call it the Gathering, or the Grow Fest, and it grows every year. I think every county in Ireland, the 32 counties of this island, have at least one grow-it-yourself group. But Mick mentioned this morning in his introduction, welcoming people to GrowFest, there's at least 1,200 community food projects that are connected in the grow-it-yourself network. So they could be a school vegetable garden, they could be a community garden, they could be a traditional sort of style grow-it-yourself group where friends come together to sort of support and inspire each other's growing. I think with Innocent, so the big help to engage partners and this sort of collaboration with Innocent, the smoothie company. Next year will be
40,000 children. That was a number.
40,000 children.
40,000, and I think 4,500 schools across Britain and Ireland. But it's, as Elaine mentioned, there's groups in Germany, friends in Dorset, you know, the first grow it yourself groups in Dorset. But the partners like Cully and Sully are bringing, I think, a couple of hundred different workplaces, or people are growing pea shoots on their desks. So it's growing, it's, you know, forgive the pun, it's growing daily. It's in the zeitgeist. People want to reconnect with their food, to be able to, you know, understand how easy it is, because it is easy to grow a little bit of their food, to trust where their food comes from. And we're very big on the concept of food empathy. So by growing a little bit of your food, it percolates down into your decisions to support local food, support local growers, learn how to cook again.
That was look after your own health, yeah, because you understand where the food has come from and you don't want to put something in your body that you wouldn't do that to your food. Why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm looking for some democracy in the interview, so who wants to answer the next question? And the next question is, how big is it going to be? They've got plans, they're setting up the HQ. You're on the inside. It's bigger on the inside. You're looking out. How big is that? And you have to decide who's going to answer this question.
As big as you can imagine. That's the plan.
How big are they imagining it?
You can't imagine anything bigger. Like, so Michael Kelly, the founder of DIY, if you ever talk to him, he'll start with one idea. By the end of the conversation, he's got the whole world sorted, you know. In one car journey, you can just... DIY will have gone from one thing to a million things. So because it's so important, and food is and growing is essential to living, mental health, physical health, everything about your lifestyle, it can only get bigger, you know. It's just going to go from here into lots and lots of different things in future.
Another democratic question, you can decide who answers it, but why is it so important?
Why is it so important? It's so important because it's, you know, we should hopefully eat at least 3 times a day, we're told, breakfast, lunch and dinner. It's, you know, the keynote speaker today summed it up. There's so much mystery now in what has become an industry. 50 years since the food industry has really manifested, and from the growing of food has skipped a generation, perhaps. Maybe not for some people. They've always continued to grow their own food. But as Elaine touched on, it's about what we put into our bodies. So if we know what we grow, it's natural, we grow organically. That doesn't have to be a hardship, because when we grow on a small scale, we don't need those chemicals, those herbicides, those fungicides, those insecticides. And, you know, what goes in sort of comes out, if you want, and it manifests in our physical body. So a health and a suppleness and an ability to concentrate at school or concentrate in the workplace, a sense of well-being. It's like when you talk about a dog having shiny, bright eyes and a shiny coat, when it's, you know, well-rested, well-exercised and well-fed. It's the same for us, I think. So really it's to be healthy, and this sense of well-being, it all comes from, well, not all of it, but a huge part of it is what we eat. And it's not just what we eat, but the growing as well, to be outdoors, to be in touch with the earth again, to reconnect. I'm going to go all spiritual on you, you know, to be connected with the seasons, to be connected with our mother, the earth, you know, to go deep and hippie, the calcium in our bones, the water in our blood, and the iron in our blood, they're all there in the earth. But more and more, as our busy lives and we have this Western life, we're disconnected from that earth, from those elements within us. So by stopping and taking time to reconnect with growing some of our own food, being in touch with, you know, watering our seedlings, harvesting our food, taking our time to slowly cook and slowly savour and eat and enjoy communally with family and friends and society, these are all reasons why it's important. It's sort of a perfect storm, an idea whose time has come.
You wouldn't get this question on the Sod Show if Peter was on the microphone, but I'll try it because he's not here. But earlier I called GIY an organisation, and it's clearly an organisation. It's international. But it's got members, and they get sent newsletters, and they have their own local organisations. And that sounds a little bit like a club, but I don't get that impression. I get that it's a movement of people, and it's a growing movement, and it's moving hearts and minds into action to do something that's really, really good. But that's not the political question that Peter would never allow on the Sod Show. I'm going to put in is that we have those very well publicized documentaries that show how the food industry is ruining the health of the, I'm going to say the nation, but of multiple nations. And you guys in Grow Yourself or seem to be the polar opposite of what the food industry does. Is, you know, multinational capitalist food industry killing us?
Harsh, but possibly fair. Yeah, that they're killing us. It's a difficult question, because personal choice is really important. But on the other hand, education is essential. Like, so I can go, and also wealth, right? So I can go to the shop and choose between, I don't know, the organic eggs, the free-range eggs, and the battery chickens' eggs. But then if I've 20 quid to last a whole week, and I know that I have to eat, I probably have to go for the battery chicken eggs, even if I know that, like, battery chicken treatment is cruel, and also organic is much better for my own body. So I have the knowledge, but probably not the money, whereas other people could have one or not the other, you know. So there is a choice. We don't have to go to McDonald's, we don't have to go to Burger King. We can go grow some carrots, take them home, wash them, boil them. So I don't know, maybe we have to take responsibility for our own health and take the power back, yeah, and do it ourselves. Because, but then, you know, if you have chips every so often, you have chips every so often, you know.
And the way to do it is grow it yourself, is to get involved. If there's somebody out there who's listening and they've had opportunity to get involved before, they might have heard about it, they might be hearing about it for the first time today, what's the first step? How do you move forward from being not connected with the movement to being in the movement?
There's so many ways. We live in a nation, or a a time, I guess, of information technology. So if you have a smartphone, if you're online on your laptop, you can check out the website and so many huge free resources, from 3-minute video tutorials to show you how to sew maybe your first ever crop of lettuce leaves. So start small, or you can connect in with one of the local groups. You can do it in your back garden, or you can do it in a community garden with people. You can link in with some of the school groups, some of the many campaigns that we have, like the Sew and Grow for the schools, and the Give Peas a Chance for, you know, you can grow pea shoots, as we mentioned, on your work desk beside your computer. But it's not difficult. It's, you know, seeds will grow. If you ever see, you know, to an extreme example at Sewage Works, where tomato seeds are so small they pass through our gut undigested, and when you get lots of the effluent and some of the sort of, shall we say, the solids, they get washed out on the treated water, there's a proliferation of tomato plants, because those seeds find a little bit of compost, they have water, they have sunshine, and they grow. So nobody's planted that tomato plant. You know, nature wants seeds to grow. That's what they're designed to do without the interaction of humans. So there's no big mystery. Give it a go.
Okay, and working on that interacting with humans bit, I've been in the DIY world since 8 o'clock this morning. It's 4 o'clock now, so do the maths. It's about 8 hours of connectivity with the movement. And I do detect that there, the human interactivity, the social side to grow it yourself, is in the movement. That you can be a loner, but you're not going to be for very long, because you're joining up with like-minded people who are just so much fun and bubbly and are going to get along.
Exactly. Nothing else to say there, really, is there? Except that I used to help the DIY group champions, so the people who run the groups, to make their job easier. Other things they could do and connect them to each other. Sometimes they would talk about people from their allotments who didn't want to talk to them, who would just sit in their shed all day with their flask. And, you know, they were part of DIY because they were in the group, but when they came, they didn't want to speak. So if you want to be a loner, you can be a loner and part of DIY as well. But if it happens that you're like bubbly and excitable, like most people in DIY, then you'll find lots of people to do that with.
Down on the ground, how does it work? Do you have weekly meetings? Do you meet more often than that? What is the organisational structure of a group? How does it get along? How does it avoid fiefdoms and chiefs and bigwigs and all that kind of stuff?
I would say every group is different. You know, we're talking about hundreds of different groups. So we have lots of supports. We have lots of feedback from what may have worked from one group. You know, the first group started here in 2008 in Waterford. So that could be a monthly meeting, but sometimes groups will take the sort of the dark, wet winter months off and maybe start again in March when the sap starts to rise and people get inspired. So there's all sorts of things, like just sitting around the table having the big chat about what did you like to grow, what do you not like to eat, what grew well for you last year. Or it could be a session on potatoes. How do you chit potatoes? How do you grow? Do you need to do A, B and C? Or pumpkins, I have no idea how to grow them. And then it's simple, fun things like swapping extra seeds, swapping extra plants, swapping your produce. Well, it brings in everything. So the fun, the moral support, the sort of the ethos is to inspire and support each other's growing. That could be through watching a documentary or a movie together, to having a potluck dinner where you bring stuff along to share. It could be somebody who has poultry or bees they're, you know, doing in their back garden or on their allotment or farm, and they want to share that or find out more. So it's tapping into this whole network of people all across the island and more internationally as well. So it can be done online from your laptop at home in front of the fire, or it can be done on a community group. It can be done in your school garden, as I've mentioned before. It more and more now in the workplace also. So many opportunities.
Interview technique, lesson number one. I'm going to now see that I've got it wrong, and you're going to correct me, okay? So from what you said there, I hear the Women's Institute, the WI. Is it at all like that?
How did you get that from what he said? Have you met him? I mean, those are probably lovely organisations, and I don't know enough about them to tell you that this isn't like that, but I don't think I could imagine anything more dissimilar to like a Hot Fuzz style you know, community group that like polices around the village and has little conversations over tea.
Is it people running community gardens, meeting people who have allotments, meeting people who plant in their own gardens?
So from when I looked after the champions, right, it seemed like there was so many different types of group and way of doing things. So there are people who have allotments. No one would talk to each other, so they set up a DIY group so they would talk to each other. So in that sense, it could be a bit more like a sort of a classical idea of a group. But then other ones, like I went to a lovely one in North Tyrone, which was in like a yoga house. And it was upstairs, and you had to take off your shoes and your own big woolly socks in February in the snow in Northern Ireland. It was great. And apparently they never meet up to actually have a talk because they hardly ever, because they don't find that very interesting. They'd rather go out and go to each other's gardens, see what's growing, have a chat and some tea. And then equally, you could just grow some peas on your desk and just show the person next door and take a silly selfie of you and your peas, make a ridiculous hashtag, and that's how you're involved in DIY. So we're super, like, hipster recording to Shona, who loves jam jars, as well as being friends with people who have allotments. And that too.
You can DIY in the office at the desk.
Yeah.
Is it a hippie kind of movement? Is it got that kind of woolly jumper edge to it?
There is. I'm a hippie, but I don't think it's a hippie movement. You've got people here who are school teachers. You know,
that's patches on their elbows.
Well, maybe, but you have, you know, the companies that we're working with through the growing at work. That's a corporate world that we're engaged with. You know, our partners at Innocence. Well, maybe they're hippie, but they're hippie entrepreneurial, you know, socially engaged business folk. So, you know, there's certainly hippies and more power to the hippies. Let's get more hippies in. But it's not necessarily a hippie organization. There's people that's like Mick. Mick used to be involved in the IT business and realized for his family, when he decided to start a family, that he wanted to step off that, you know, that hamster wheel of the rat race and make a bit more space for things that are important. One of those being growing food, so that he was, you know, having that life-work balance and being able to give the best quality food to his family. So I wouldn't say, I would love to call McKelly a hippie, but he's certainly not that.
Have you worked out what makes the whole thing work? Like, what is it at the DNA of DIY? Is it Mick? Is it more than Mick? What is it that's making it propagate the world so fast, faster than those seeds in the sewer?
It's free.
Ah.
So you'll never be charged to attend a DIY meeting if you go to North Tyrone, or you go to the Dingle Peninsula, or you go to Dorset, or you go to Germany. You can tap into the network for free online, avail of all these resources online. It's about this, again, coming back to the ethos at the core, inspire and support each other's growing. Get more people growing just a small portion of the food, whether that's some greens in a window box on their balcony, or that's 2 acres of a small holding with your chicken and your bees and your pigs. It's all valid. So I think that's one of the key elements where it's, you know, in times of austerity, in times where we've all suffered with, you know, the model that we have in terms of our economy collapsing around us, people are coming back to what's important. Being in touch with nature, being in touch with the land, growing good, honest food, eating and sharing that good, honest food, and doing it with an organisation and a charity that doesn't charge you to be involved.
Rounding up to the last questions, sell it to me. I'm on a garden radio show for 4.5 years, but I'm the non-gardener on the radio show. I have little or no interest in all of this, believe it or not. I don't. Sell it to me so that you can somewhat encourage me to make that step and go and do it.
It's a scary prospect. I'll try my best, right? Fiona Newlan, who is giving some talks today, he says lovely things about growing and the importance of just putting your hands in the soil. That if your hands, your skin touches the soil, it releases the same endorphins as chocolate and sex and something else. But like, so soil maybe. So
we've had him on the show. We know he loves chocolate.
Yes. And other things probably too, but so from a biological level, like we're supposed to be in touch with the environment. So perhaps you're doing yourself a disfavor by you know not doing so. So you know, think about that for a second. But also, how amazing food tastes if you grow it yourself. Like, so what happened to me? Right, I was up in Northern Ireland. I ate a tomato from a tomato branch, I guess, is that what they're called, in a polytunnel, and then everything changed. Because I grew up in Birmingham, and I never grew my own food. My mum had a damson tree, but we won't talk about that. And the tomatoes you get in the supermarket, like the skin on the outside is really hard because they're grown for transport, and then they've been covered in pesticides and stuff, so they don't taste quite right. And inside they're kind of hard, and they're just, I mean, they're all right if you don't know any different. But then you eat a fresh one that's still warm from the sun, and it tastes like the sun because, you know, that's the only thing that's been added to it. And then that you can't go back from there. You can't possibly buy one from a packet again. So try one thing. You'll be so excited by the fact you made life, like the Lion King, that you won't be able to go back.
I will try my brother's free-range eggs. That's what I'll do. I have tried them, but I'll try them again and make a decision on trying them that I will get into this movement. And you're one.
So the question I would ask you, do you like to eat?
Of course I like to. Yeah, I more than like to eat, yeah.
So I am a gardener in terms of my livelihood, but I never really had my own garden. I grow in hodgepodge places, sometimes in cities. And sometimes the last thing I want to do in my free time is to grow or to be a gardener. But I love to eat. And with Grow It Yourself, the people that have travelled here today with me are from Belfast and Lisburn. And one specific friend, Heller, loves to cook. And she cooks with a lot of stuff that she grows in both her back garden and her front garden. And her community allotment and different community gardens she's involved in. And she always cooks amazing things and brings them and shares them with not just others but with myself, and I love to eat what she cooks. So even if you don't necessarily love the idea of, you know, getting the soil under your fingernails and growing, get involved because you love to eat. And it's what Elaine said, the best food that we'll ever be able to get is the food that's maybe not grown yourself but grown by your friends or your family or your community, in a very wholesome and ethical and delicious manner.
Michael and Elaine, I think you've sold GIY International to Brian Green on the Sod Show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
103.2, let's leave it there for this week. Time for a song of the week? Not really, but we could squash in a song if it was 58 seconds long. If we got a 58 second long song, we do. Have a listen to this. Stiff Little Fingers. Here We Are Nowhere. Great song for a Friday night. Talk to you next week at 3 o'clock. Catch you on the podcast after tea time Friday. And with thanks to our wonderful producer Peter Donegan, it's myself, Brian Green, saying thanks for listening. Take care. Over and out.